Type Podcast.
Here we go. Hello, hello, around the block and around the world. This is where we discuss, debate, and deliberate all things diabetes. You're in the right place. Representing Type 2, my name is Dobie Maxwell. And my co-host representing Type 1, the vivacious, effervescent, always in the know, Ms. Sammy Parker. Hey, Sammy.
Hey, Dobie.
This episode of Just My Type is brought to you by you-know-who. Who is it?
The Diabetes App.
It's a free social community app that brings together both Type 1 and Type 2 diabetics, plus their supporters. You can find community resources and Sammy and me in person on the Diabetes App. Hey, you picked a great guest today, a fascinating young man.
I know, and this guest I kind of know, I feel like. Well, I mean, we go a little ways back, but we haven't chatted in a while. But our guest is Nick, and he is also known as the Breathing Diabetic, and is a breath expert. So, Nick, thank you so much, Nick, for joining us.
Welcome, Nick. I got to say, when I heard the breathing diabetic, it sounded like a horror movie title, didn't it?
Well, we're all breathing diabetics, right?
Hopefully. I don't want to stop breathing anytime soon. I'm sure you're teaching us how to do it better.
Yeah, that's the goal, hopefully, yeah. And thanks for having me on.
Well, we kind of – oh, my gosh, of course.
Absolutely.
I'm just so excited because I think this is going to be a very, very useful and resourceful episode for everybody.
I know,
especially for myself. So if you would mind sharing your diagnosis story, that would be amazing.
Not a problem. So I'm 35 now. I was diagnosed when I was 11, type 1 diabetes, and kind of the classic thing everyone goes through. I was losing a ton of weight, always having to pee, always thirsty. So I had all the signs of ketoacidosis but didn't know it. And it wasn't until I started throwing up blood at some point, just because I was like vomiting.
That'll get your attention.
Yeah, that's when my dad saw blood in it and said, oh, we need to take him to the emergency room. And, you know, they told me I had diabetes. And I guess one sort of funny thing out of it was the doctor came in and said, your son has diabetes, to my family. And the first thing I said is, well, can I have a Diet Coke then? Because I was so thirsty and I just wanted to.
Can I have a Diet Coke?
I had been just drinking, and this is kind of funny too, is I would drink Cokes all the, just regular Coke all the time when, because I was just always so thirsty and I loved it. I was a kid, that's what we drank. And so anyways, I just wanted a Diet Coke. But so yeah, I got it when I was 11. And yeah, after that, I kind of, it was nice, like once I got the diagnosis, because then once I started taking insulin and I gained a little weight, had energy back, I could, I was a skateboarder, so I was able to go skateboard again, whereas I kind of quit all that. So yeah, it was awful during the time, but then, you know, nice once you get the diagnosis and get insulin and start feeling like a normal human again.
Oh, totally. So how did you get into breathing then?
Oh,
like, how'd you become a breath expert?
Well, that's a long
story. He's like,
oh,
yeah, I forgot.
So
we've got time.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I was, let's see, so 11 to about 25-ish, I didn't really care about my diabetes. You know, I did what I needed to do, but like I didn't take it that seriously. I just thought, oh, it's just, I take insulin, I eat, my blood sugars go up and down, whatever. But then at age around 25, I read a book about like eating and how eating can affect it. And I never even thought of it, as silly as that sounds. So then I started like, oh, I can change my diet. And then, oh, I can exercise some. And so that got my mind, I say this as a prelude, because it kind of got my mind thinking like, oh, there are things I can do that can help my diabetes. Of course, we know, like, as people with diabetes, you can't control it perfectly, like, ever. There'll always be ups and downs.
No.
There'll always be things. But in any case, I started feeling like, oh, I can do little things that will help. And so with breathing, I became interested with this guy, Wim Hof, who most people, a lot of people
I've
probably
heard
of him by now. He's called the Iceman. So he gets people doing these really intense breathing exercises and then going into ice baths and climbing like Kilimanjaro with no shirt on. And like he does so.
Who hasn't done that?
Same.
Yeah, right.
We've
it's just
that.
Another Saturday, as I call it. But so, yeah, I mean, but he's very charismatic. So like I started doing that with just the idea of like, this is cool. Like it just sounds cool. You have these kind of like almost spiritual experiences. And on the side, I'm like I had finished my PhD and I was doing a postdoc at the EPA. So I was like doing this sciencey stuff, being a nerd. And then on this over here, I'm doing all this breathing stuff and feeling like, oh, this is really cool. It's like my spiritual journey and then my science journey. But about a year later, I stumbled upon someone named Patrick McCown. And so, yeah, a lot went into that. But essentially, I was at a point where I was always exhausted. I was taking naps nonstop. And so when I found Patrick's work, he was talking about the science of breathing and how breathing through your nose can do this and that, and how taping your mouth at night can help you sleep deeper. And so I went out, I bought tape. It was like a Sunday afternoon. I heard the podcast. And then the next week was like the best I'd ever felt in my life. Like so much energy. I was sleeping deep. And so about three.
That's so cool.
Yeah, from just some tape over my mouth, which is ridiculous. Yeah, so my blood sugars got better from a bunch of like that. I started doing breathing exercises because I was so convinced. And then my blood sugars got better. And I said, well, this is crazy. You can't just breathe and have better blood sugars. And I didn't change anything else in my life. So that's what made me switch to like the science side of like, okay, I'm going to start reading papers and try to understand like how breathing can impact us as diabetics. And then that's how I created the breathing diabetic.
And here I thought when the kidnappers so put the tape over my mouth, that was a bad thing.
Right? It's a great
that's
thing.
That's so awesome.
They put me in the trunk of the car, duct tape over my mouth. Next thing I knew, my blood sugar was lower. No,
that is not the story we're trying to tell here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Okay, it's fascinating. Kidding. It's fascinating, though. It's like you discovered a gem, you know, really great.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And I Googled around, you know, it's the first thing you do. It's just like, oh, Google breathing, blood sugars, or whatever it might be. So there was nothing there that I could find, like, anyone talking about it. But then, my daughter's crying. Sorry. We're all inside, as I told you, so we're kind of cooped up. But I started finding papers about it. So there's all this research about it, but nothing, like, in the general public. So that's where I was like, okay, I need to learn about this and an opportunity to share it because, like, obviously there's so many of us with diabetes, and it was helping me, so... I just want to figure out why.
No, totally. I mean, it's so cool because, well, first off, is the reason taping the mouth, is that because of nitric oxide?
That's one aspect of it. Yeah, it's a huge part of it. Okay. There's lots of detriments to mouth breathing at night. Like it can cause obstructive sleep apnea. It causes, you know, dry mouth, bad breath in the morning. It kind of dysregulates your breathing at night. So your nose keeps your breathing a little bit more rhythmic, and it keeps your upper airways a little more open when you breathe through your nose. But if you breathe through your mouth,
do you still do that now?
Oh yeah, every night. I can't
tape it. Yeah. What kind of tape? Scotch tape?
No. Duct tape. No, just
kidding.
Duct tape.
Just kidnapper's friend. Okay.
No, I use 3M Micropore gentle paper tape. So it's like super gentle. Cool. Okay. And you don't need much. Like if you Google it or go on YouTube, you'll see some crazy things. You don't have to do much. It's like a little teeny vertical strip across the center of your mouth. Some people like it horizontal, but it should be able to come off no problem.
Wait, that's really cool.
Everyone, like the first week or so, it'll come off like every night because you'll wake up and instinctively just rip it off. So you sound and you look ridiculous when you talk about tape, but it's really cool. Yeah, it's really beneficial.
That sounds really awesome. So what specifically have you, like, are the benefits of basically how, like, does breathing affect diabetes?
Yeah, there's so many. I think the most obvious ones is stress reduction, for one. So we all know, most people with diabetes deal with a lot more daily stressors, worrying about supplies or just the ups and downs. For me, it's always like, oh, I need another pre-authorization for this medication I've taken for the last 24 years, and the insurance needs to make sure I have diabetes. It's just like, it's insane all the things we have to put up with. So when you breathe in certain patterns, like very slowly with a longer exhalation than an inhalation, it activates the calming side of the nervous system. So we have the sympathetic, which is the fight or flight, and then we have the parasympathetic, the rest and digest. And so now it's like, you know, hundreds if not thousands of studies have shown when you slow down your breathing to around, you know, anywhere from like 3 to 7 breaths per minute. Most people find around 6 breaths per minute to be the sweet spot. You activate that calming side of the nervous system, and all sorts of good things happen. And one of them, of course, is stress reduction. So
yeah,
you're learning to calm your body quicker, And as you do that consistently, so if you're doing it, you know, 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, mm-hmm. it actually increases the tone of that system, meaning like when you get hit with something that's stressful, it takes a lot more to get you back to, you know, up to that super stressed level. And you learn how to recover quicker. Like your nervous system says, oh, I can fight this a lot easier. So that's one big side of it, is just the stress reduction, right? Just feeling like you can handle the daily stressors of diabetes. But there's a lot of physiological things. Like, for example, it increases heart rate variability, which is one of these, again, kind of global indices that a lot of people have probably heard of by now, that is, you know, your heart rate doesn't beat like a metronome. There's these little variations between each heartbeat. And it turns out the more you have, the better. And slow breathing puts you into this sweet spot where you maximize your heart rate variability. And again, if you do it consistently, you're raising your baseline levels. And so that's helping your nervous system function. So that's a big part of it, heart rate variability.
Yeah.
It lowers blood.
I knew that you mentioned something about, so if I recall this, that it had lowered your A1C.
Yeah. So that was basically the culmination of everything that it does. Like lower blood pressure, lower stress, better autonomic function, deeper sleep was a big one for me. And it helped my A1C drop just because I was more insulin sensitive. And then there's some other things, like when you're more relaxed. So if you put yourself into a more parasympathetic state, you're reducing stress hormones, and stress hormones can cause insulin resistance, and it can also cause your, right? I mean, we know, like, if you don't,
I'm like, they suck.
I mean, you know, big like time. when you don't sleep well, right? Like the next day your blood sugars are weird because your insulin sensitivity is all off. And so if you sleep deeper and you're less stressed, you're going to have less stress hormones circulating in your bloodstream. And it just turns out to help basically everything. In one of them, long-term, can be blood sugar control. If anything, just for less ups and downs, you know, there's a lot of factors there. But so I feel like, you know, I say this like a used car salesman or something, because I sound like, oh, it does everything. But, you know, breathing really is life, right? Like it's the most important bodily function. So it impacts all of our organs. Every part of our body is impacted by the breath. So if we do it in specific ways, it's not going to like fix everything, but it can really, really help us relax, feel better, lower blood pressure, better blood flow, all these different things.
All right, ready? In 3, 2, 1. So for somebody living with diabetes, and you named all the benefits of breathing, what would be, if you've never done any kind of breathing exercises, or even like, I know a lot of people say, oh, you should try to meditate or just try to focus on your breath. And I'm like, the worst. My family's probably listening, laughing, thinking hasn't probably never succeeded at this, because I cannot slow down, but I need to. So how would you say, like, where to start? What are some strategies, how to implement it, and kind of all that good stuff?
So you bring up a really important point about breathing, is that like breathing is the, I think it's Belissa Vrenich who says breathing is meditation for people who can't meditate, because you know, it sounds annoying to like sit and look at your breath and focus on it. But like when you breathe in certain patterns, because of some of the stuff we were just talking about, right? Like you actually change your physiology. And so even if you aren't interested, you're like, oh, this is going to be stupid, the minute you start doing the breathing patterns, it will have effects. So it's a kind of a way to put yourself into certain states. But to get started, there's tons of different ways. The most basic and most helpful for people with diabetes is just something called slow breathing, or you'll hear it called resonance breathing or coherent breathing on different apps, or, you know, wherever you're, whatever Google search you do. But it's essentially breathing at about 5 to 6 breaths per minute and doing it with a slightly longer exhalation. So I always recommend people start with a 4-second inhale and a 6-second exhale. And the reason is just the exhale is a little more calming. So if you extend it, by the time you finish the practice, you'll feel way more relaxed at the end. So 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out, you could just do that. You could ignore everything else we say, like, and do that for the rest of your life and have.
How long should you do it for?
So the minimum effective dose, that from everything I've read, is about 10 minutes a day to get reductions in like inflammation, reductions in stress, and then like things like blood pressure and other aspects. Most people recommend 20 minutes a day. So there's, but this was the 10 minutes a day was based on a paper published in 2021 that kind of like synthesized a bunch of different studies and said you could get away with 10 minutes. So that's what I say is the minimum.
And 10 minutes solely focusing on breathing.
Yeah, just 10 minutes.
And could it be broken up or it has to be?
That's a perfect question. I don't know. And I actually emailed the authors and asked them, hey, is it like one 10-minute session or can you do 2 5-minute sessions? Okay. They said,
yeah,
they don't know. They said none of the, you know, and that's scientists. They have to be very cautious.
Yeah,
I totally. Would say.
I want to do 10 1-minute sessions.
There you go.
I just saw Dobie trying to do it just now in the video. He was like,
I was just breathing. Yeah. No, but seriously, it's a very good thing. I'm a comedian and I teach comedy classes. And the big thing is nerves before performing. And I didn't even know I was, but I said, you know, take some deep breaths, yeah, blah, 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 blah. So I was basically teaching your principles without even knowing it. But you're right. People don't think about it. Everybody breathes, and it's such an important part of everyone's life. This is a fantastic gold mine that you struck because it affects everybody.
Yeah, right. And like,
that's not dead.
Well, you know, you can hold your breath for a really long time if you do so.
That's true, too.
Yeah. No, but
when you're dead, you can be underwater for a long time.
So is that breathing in 4 seconds, breathing out, and is that solely through the nose?
Yeah, so if you're just starting, okay, I would recommend always in through the nose. So inhaling through your nose is super important. But you can exhale if you're just starting through the mouth, but do it through like pursed lips. So like you're blowing on hot soup, sort of like... I look silly doing it, but anything, yeah, exactly. And it can be audible.
Silly is what we're about here on JMT.
Yeah. You can also be really audible, like whatever floats your boat. Some people find that when you have a long exhalation, it's a little harder through the nose. So if you're just beginning and it feels uncomfortable, just go through the exhale through the mouth and that you'll feel really relaxed. It'll be very calming. So yeah, in through the nose, out through the mouth. If you can handle it, in through the nose, out through the nose. And so that's the starting
point. Is there a better part of time of day to do this? Like right when you wake up or right before you go to bed? I mean, do you have any suggestions there? Or does it really matter?
So I would say right when you wake up and before you go to bed are the two most common times. So like most research and things, it seems that's what they're looking at. And from a personal perspective, that's when I do it. I sometimes, or most of the time, I do some sort of midday breathing break as well. But like first thing in the morning, it seems to really set your body up for just calmer, like, yeah, just like gets you ready. And then at night, we could spend a whole podcast talking about doing it at night. But essentially what people have found is that when you breathe slowly at night, you fall asleep faster, you wake up less. That sounds pretty good, right? And you increase your subjective sleep quality. So like people take questionnaires, you know, have to write all these answers. But when they do this slow breathing, it helps them before bed. And that was at 15 minutes though. So that's a little bit longer, but 15 minutes before bed has been shown to be really helpful. So yeah, I always tell people do it whenever you can, right? It can't hurt. So like you were saying, 10 1-minute sessions, perfect. If that's
if
it would make someone do it, hey, that's, you know, whatever it takes, even 1 minute will reset you. So anything is better than nothing. But if you want to like at least try to follow some of the science, it's like 10 minutes and then maybe 10 minutes before bed or 15 before bed.
Okay. That's what I honestly, yeah, I really want to try that.
Yeah, it's
I've been kind of trying to
start to notice the effects
for years in the shower. Yeah, because it's a shower is about 10 minutes, right? Go. And I've noticed like a lot of times I'll get up in the morning.
Oh, that's smart.
I don't do a lot of smart things, Sammy. So this is one I think even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. But I used to do morning radio, okay? So I would take a shower before going in. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I would breathe heavily just to try to wake up. So I turn the water on extra hot or extra cold, depending on the time of year. And I would breathe and I would, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning before I'd go on the radio. And I would feel like I was more awake because I don't know if the air blows the cobwebs out of your head or whatever. So I'm doing these things without professional training. But I just wanted to share that in case somebody might want to think of a place to try it. I think the shower is a good place.
If you don't mind me asking, because it's fascinating.
You can ask anything. My life's an open book.
When you say you're breathing heavily, what does that mean?
Well, I don't mean, I'm not saying, you know, just deepest inhale that I can, like exactly like you described. you know, 6 seconds, whatever, about that. And I would exhale until I couldn't anymore.
Okay.
I mean, blow it all out.
Awesome.
Wow, Dobie, you're making me feel so uneducated.
So inadequate? Well, you should, Sammy, because I am better than you. No,
you are.
No. But I mean, seriously, you don't even think about stuff like that. And I just did it because those hours were so horrific. You know, I'm a night person as a comedian. Sometimes I would stay up all night and do it. But after a while, I said, okay, I got to get a couple hours of sleep. So I just, most people don't like getting up that early. That's the only reason I did it. It had no therapeutic effects. I was just trying to find any way I could to stay awake.
Oh, that's, and you know, that's such a good point that you just made. Like, you figured it out on your own. And that's what's really neat about most of this breathing is that, like, people have just instinctually figured this out. Like, these practices go back thousands and thousands of years to ancient yogis, to ancient Buddhists. Like, they've all known all this stuff just by listening to their body, you know, having to do things. And, yeah. And we have the science side to tell us they were all right, but they've been right the whole time, just instinctually. So yeah, that's really awesome.
Well, yeah, there's a saying in the entertainment business, the farther back you steal, the more original you look.
Exactly.
So if nobody, you know, keep going back there as far as you can, because you say nothing's new under the sun. They all say that the same. The herbs and medicine and all that kind of stuff goes back thousands of years. But this new discovery, it's not new. It's new to us.
Right. So, or we put it.
So what would you say then, Nick, is like another, like what are, so the breathing in, 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out. And then what would you say are some other like strategies?
Yep. So another really good one that has been popularized by Dr. Andrew Huberman at Stanford.
Oh my gosh.
Huberman Lab.
I listen to his podcast every day on my
walk. So you know about the physiological sigh probably. That's his number one recommended breathing technique for stress. So like, and you only need to do one or two of them. It's not a huge commitment.
Will you explain it so that Dobie and the listeners know it?
Yeah, I'll do my best. He has tons of videos, so watch him. He's really smart. But it's a double inhale followed by an exhale through your mouth. So you're mimicking what happens when you sigh, like, you know. But there's all these little subtle things that happen when you do that, and he found a way to kind of like basically systemize it. So you inhale once, then inhale again.
How long is it again that he says to do it for?
I think it's just one or two times, you know. Like, I just did three, and I think that's more than enough to reset your nervous system. Like, it just gives you this kind of like, when you really let it, you know, let it out. So I don't know if he has any other recommendations for doing it for like 5 minutes straight or anything like that. But I just know people find it really helpful. For example, like in between a set at the gym, because it's such a quick reset that like, oh, I only have a few seconds before my next, whatever it might be. I don't really work out at the gym, but you know, like one of these, a bench press or something. And so, and then so amazing.
That's so cool. I love his episodes. I always listen. I think I'm a,
you know what, rumor has it, he listens to us. He listens to our podcast on his walks.
Oh, really, Dobie? Does rumor
tell us
that?
That's the one I'm starting. That's the rumor I'm starting. Hey, Nick, before we go,
you hear Andrew Huberman?
The time always goes fast when you have great guests, and you're absolutely one of them. Now, you have some online videos of your own that you could have, like a course. Could you share that with our listeners so they can take it? Because I know I'm going to take it.
Sure, yeah. It's called Breathing for Diabetes. So my website is thebreathingdiabetic.com, and then from there, you'll see a little link to the online course. And it basically goes through everything I've learned. I just tried to consolidate it into one place, and it gives like example exercises. It's really, it's the first part of science, and then the second part is practical application to make it easy for people to do it. So yeah, my first time ever trying to do all this, so I'm super stoked on it. Have like a newsletter if for free. So if you just
wait, that's awesome. I need to follow.
There's a free newsletter.
We're gonna follow.
That's my favorite thing. So if people want to, there's no spam. It's just like fun breathing stuff every week on Mondays. It's called the Breathing 411. And so it's, yeah. So I would definitely say I have so much fun putting that together. It's just like these nuggets of wisdom from people from everywhere. It turns out everyone's talking about breathing. Every book I read, I find a little nugget about breathing. So I put it in there. Anyways, it's a fun little way to learn.
Breath, so not awesome. Death. That's what we
say.
I like that's my new
tagline. And then our question of the pod
You can use it.
Nick, we want you to ask the question to the pod.
Question to the pod, yes.
It was, okay, why wouldn't you tape your mouth shut at night? Or try taping your mouth shut at night?
Okay.
Sammy,
ready? Answer the question first. Pod. I would do it, and I would do it because I'm curious how it would affect my breathing.
I totally would do it because it would make me sleep deeper. I would have better dreams and feel better when I wake up. I'd even use the duct tape. Don't care.
Amazing.
And my breath would be fresh as a daisy.
It will be fresher. And some people do report much more vivid dreams. So that's interesting you said that. Yeah.
Really?
I hear it all the time.
I've been on a walking kick. You know, we talked about it today as we record this. It's day 170, rather, in a row of walking 10,000 steps or more a day. It's at least 5 miles. And I was telling Sammy this, that one of the things, I sleep deeper and my dreams are just more vivid. And my creativity, I've got in the last 5-6 months that I've been doing it, a booklet of comedy ideas and just things like that. And it's just amazing how, so it's like a chiropractic session. And your breathing is going to add to that. Dude. Now, I'll give you full credit for it. I'm going to subscribe to your newsletter as soon as we're done recording.
Well, also, one we didn't get to talk about is breath walking. But matching your steps with breaths is really powerful. So, like, inhale for 4 steps.
That's cool.
Exhale for 4 steps. Inhale for 4. And it gets you in this, like, weird meditative state. So, give that a try.
I like that.
Well, the next time you come on, and we hope you do, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
You are a keeper,
buddy. Thank you so much again, Nick, for coming on. And you guys can find him at The Breathing Diabetic and thebreathingdiabetic.com. Sign up for the newsletter. I'm going to go do that after this. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at justmytypepod_. At Facebook, justmytypepod, and our hashtag, justmytypepod. But again, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We've had a blast.
Thank you, Nick. And again, go to our past episodes. We are bringing the diabetic community together. Nick is our new cousin. You know, we have cousins and brothers and sisters, everybody in the diabetic community. We appreciate all of you. Listen, we do appreciate that. We are well on our way to 1 million listeners. We want to be the diabetes podcast. And Sammy, it's time to put the sugar-free cherry on the healthy sundae one last time.
C'est la vie, baby.
This is the Just My Type podcast.